Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
I am dealing with joy, and particularly using Tommy Newberry's book, The 4-8 Principle, The Secret to a Joy-Filled Life, some of the scriptures. And I handed these out last week. If you don't have one of these are 40 affirmations. And what I said to folks is choose three or five to say each day as something you maybe want to improve on. I had a lady this morning that said to me, you know, that's a lot, 40. And she said, there's a couple of them I just can't do. And I said, well, just choose three or four or five that apply to you where you want to grow. And don't expect results right away. Don't expect something to happen just because you're saying these things. You're trying to train your brain and send your mind positive messages. So if you don't have one of these, pick them up. And we're going to post it on the website as we move through this. I have one more sermon that we're going to be dealing with. Just a note as we get started. It dawned on me this morning as I was finalizing my notes that the most popular word, the most well-known word around the world in many languages, do you know what that word is? Okay. You were at the first service, right? Okay. I mean, what do we say when somebody says, how you doing? Huh? Okay. All right, don't confuse me now. How's work? How's school? Okay. But the problem with okay is that do we really want to be average? I mean, that's what okay means, isn't it? Or would we rather live up to our potential? Would we rather be the person that God has created us to be? What would it look like that to develop a confidence that there is nothing we cannot handle as long as God is with us? That we are not just okay, but we are beyond okay. That we are looking forward to what the next step in life is going to be. And this morning, I'm going to deal with five steps or five pillars of building emotional health and a positive attitude in life. And there are others, so I don't want to say that this is absolute. And I also want to say that we're not striving for perfection. Think in terms of what is the next step? How can I improve 10% or 20% as I look at these things in my life? And they are, number one, forgive others and ourselves without exception. Focus on our God-given strengths. Number three, eliminate negative self-talk and introduce joy talk. Dwell on the person God wants us to become, and then act with joy. What would it look like to practice these? The more we stay mindful of the positive qualities around us, the stronger our lives become, our relationships grow. The more focused we are on God's promises, the greater our spiritual convictions will become. Let's pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our redeemer. We look at your scripture now, God, and pray that you would give us insight to the next steps that you would have us take in our lives from this day forward. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's begin. Forgive others and myself without exception and mean it. Now, I want to ask you a question. Most of you have been coming to church. Some of you maybe have just gotten started back, or maybe you're just... how many times a year do you hear the pastor talk about forgiveness? A lot. I mean, we can't go 6 months without talking about forgiveness, right? I mean, it's just, it's an ongoing, we need to forgive others, we need to forgive others. Well, and part of that is that the Bible talks about it a lot. Jesus' prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I think the reason why we just have to revisit it is because it is difficult. Forgiving others, forgiving ourselves is difficult. But if we're looking for a joy-filled life, if we're looking for a life with confidence, if we're looking for a life with emotional health, forgiveness is the first element that has to be crossed. Forgiveness is leaving the past behind. Now, I've got a list here of stuff. We must forgive everyone in our past, present, for all the silliness, spineless, nutty, nasty, gutless, cruel, spiteful, harmful, insensitive things that they've ever done to us, both real and imagined. Did I leave anything out? No? Okay. You may want to add some things to that. Life is too short to be negative. Life is too short to keep putting into the bag of our life bitterness and hatred and harmful things and that we carry around with us. Never let an old wound fester due to excessive attention. Forgiving others is letting it go. It is not giving permission. I want to be clear there. Forgiveness is not giving permission. It's letting it go. It's, in some ways, as a Christian, it is delivering that person to God. Now, I know with those words, you now have forgiven everybody in your life, right? And now that you've made forgiving others a daily habit, add yourself to the list. And if we're all honest, forgiving ourselves is more difficult than forgiving others. And yet, it's imperative to forgive ourselves without mental reservation, to forgive ourselves for all the stupid choices, inappropriate thoughts, limiting words, foolish behaviors, negative beliefs, all the self-defeating things we've ever done. We're not perfect. Forgiving ourselves will be an ongoing process. An ongoing process of leaving the past behind, of living in the present, of looking forward to the opportunities of the future. And remarkably, we only have to do this forever. But we're not alone. We're not alone. Everyone is living in the challenge of forgiving themselves and letting go of the past. And don't expect to feel anything different instantly. This is a process. It takes time. The brain gets stuck and it repeats patterns of behavior over and over again and thought patterns over and over again. And as we change our words and we change the way we approach life, it takes time for the brain to catch up with us. And so, just stay with the practice. Forgiving others, forgiving yourself. Don't expect to feel anything instantly, but see what happens over the long haul. It's like losing weight. You don't notice it at first. It takes a while for it to take a hold. But then you begin to feel much better about life and about what's going on. Leave the junk behind so that we can leave room for joy. After all, Jesus paid the price. There's no reason for us to feel guilty beyond the choice to repent and to offer it up to God for forgiveness. Guilt is not practical. Guilt is not practical. There's no reason for us to feel guilty beyond the point where we repent. And if you have setbacks or you slip a bit, you aren't any less valuable. God still loves you the way you are. Your loved ones love you the way you are. Take one step. Get a little better. Set some goals that are achievable and see what can happen. Forget your failures. Relive your joys. Second, focus on your God-given strengths. Focus on your God-given strengths. Emphasize your originality by highlighting our special gifts and talents. No one else has our distinct, unique design. Back in the 1960s, an individual by Carl Jung began the study of personality. And under his studies, what he found was that there are 16 different personalities. Now, that work has been going on for the last 70 years. And we now believe that there are as many as 40 different personalities and uniqueness among people. We are different. At the Jewish synagogue on Friday night, the docent said to our kids and the parents that came with us, he said, you know, I'm on the board, there's 20 of us on the board, and you know, in the Jewish community, you get 40 people in a room, and you've got 80 opinions. And I thought, that's not unique to the Jewish community. That's every community. It is the human condition. We are different. We are different. So let us focus on what is unique about us. Focus on our God-given strengths. As a child of God, we already had everything we need right at our fingertips. If each of us has what it takes, think about it. If we were just like everyone else, what will we have to offer to the world? In fact, Paul talks about this in the New Testament in three places, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, that the church is like a body, okay, with hands and feet, all different functions that the body has, and we each have our own function. And he says there in one place, if the hand should desire to be a foot, how would we walk? You know, and he goes through this whole process of how unique each is and how important it is working under the head, which is Christ, and in unity as we live out our God-given abilities, our uniqueness, so we are blessed. Focus on your God-given gifts. Focus on your God-given gifts. Third, eliminate negative self-talk and introduce joy talk. Tommy Newberry recommends to imagine for a moment what it would be like to wear a microphone around your neck and that everything that you said in a day was recorded. And then tomorrow it would be broadcast on the television. Now, I thought that was funny, you know, and you guys didn't laugh, just like the first service didn't laugh. And I was kind of disturbed by that. I thought, I mean, do you get the concept of what if they recorded everything I said under my breath and it got broadcast? That would not be a good thing. And so I'm going on and on with the first service, and nobody's laughing. And after the service, this lady, little lady walks up to me, and she says, I didn't laugh because I was so shocked. I was thinking, oh, my goodness, what if they did broadcast what I said? And I said, I feel the same way. You know, eliminate negative self-talk and introduce joy talk. Although we may not have an actual microphone that is recording us, our brain hears us. Our brain hears what comes out of our mouth. Our brain hears what we are thinking and records it and plays it back. Over and over and over again. Changing the way we communicate with ourselves changes our emotional strength faster than any other single method. The words we use have the power to encourage or discourage, to motivate or deflate, to generate joy or repel it. When we use our mouth to argue for our limitations, then we will live into those limitations. When we use our mouth to argue our possibilities, then our brain will live into those possibilities. It's like the mother who, she had twins, and she would introduce Jeff and Tony as, this is Jeff the doctor and this is Tony the lawyer. She, by God, was going to going to speak into their lives, you know, who they were going to be with a successful profession and career. My mother did the same thing to me. I mean, from the moment that I can remember, yeah, she talked about going to college, getting a doctor's degree. There was just not any other way that I was going to move forward in the life except to live out that vision that she had for my life. Focus, eliminate negative self-talk, and introduce joy talk. Start programming our mind by first disciplining our mouth. Speak what we seek, for we are already the person that God has intended us to be. And the challenge for us is to live into that, to speak into it, to become that. I tell a story about a church I went to early in my ministry, and I hate to say this, and I'm not going to tell you the church. They were mean as snakes. You know, not anything like this church. Just, I mean, mean as snakes. And I was talking to this friend of mine who'd been around the ministry a long time, and I said, what am I going to do? And he said, well, the first time somebody does something that's positive or does something good with a guest that has come to your church, repeat it the next Sunday. And just keep repeating. So don't lie, but notice the good things. Maximize the positive. Just keep pounding in those positives and see if you can't speak into being a new DNA for that church. And you know, it began to happen. You know, the more I talked about this person or that person being friendly with the guest and greeting them, or what had happened at a certain meeting in terms of positive, the more it seemed that they wanted to do that. Speak into what you want your life to be. Fourth, dwell on the person God wants you to become. Dwell on the person God wants you to become. Tommy Newberry uses the example of a child learning how to walk. He says that we don't believe that a child is going to fail. We know a child is going to walk. And so we, as parents, treat that child as if they're going to walk, no matter how many times they fall down. I mean, can you imagine parents sitting around with a 9-month-old that's crawling around the floor, and the dad says to the mom, you know, I just don't know if this one's going to walk. Yeah, look at him. He crawls everywhere. And every time he tries to get up, he falls down. I mean, how in the world is this child ever going to walk? And the mom says, you know, you're right. I've been noticing that he sure does fall a lot. You know, it's like over and over again. I don't think we can expect much more. But, you know, we can probably teach him how to crawl and get around and do things that just like any other child, even though he's not going to be able to walk. No, that's not what we do. We operate as parents as if the child is going to walk because we know the child is going to walk. What if we treated our whole life that way? Just, you know, for dreams and expectations, begin to expect through faith that the prayer has already been answered. To expect through faith that God, what God has placed within us is going to come to fruition. And it applies to the church too. I was thinking about this. Amy and I have started doing again, we do this periodically, a prayer walk around the church every evening. And I was, on Thursday, I was praying through my sermon. And God, as I was going through this point, God said, this is Stonebridge. This is Stonebridge. That As you and the congregation believe that the future can be, so the future will be. This church can walk. This church can thrive. This church can be my voice in the community. This church can be more than we could possibly imagine for ourselves. If we believe with faith that God is already working and moving among us to do so. Dwell on the person God wants you to become. After all, there is much more to all of us than our current reality. Our true identity cannot be seen with human eyes. And this brings us to the scripture that was read earlier, there from Ephesians. That's Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. And I want to focus particularly on the verse 20. God can do anything. This is the message. Move to the next slide. Yeah. God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Did you hear that? God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does not do it by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. In other words, we're called to broaden our horizon, enlarge our mental territory, use our imagination, not our memory, to achieve a faith-driven perspective. As Jesus put it, the things which are possible with men are impossible with people are possible with God. Now, I do want to make a statement here. We do fail. We do fail. For all our greatest hopes and our dreams, there is failure in life. My dad used to put it this way. He would encourage me. He would say, John, God has a plan for your life. And God puts God's plan within our life by giving us dreams and aspirations and desires. And he said, so work for those desires. Put every ounce of effort that you have into those desires, into those dreams. And then, if it doesn't work out, God has something better planned. And the reason why I remember that is because I can point out at least three, if not four times in my life, that I worked with all of my soul and might and strength to achieve something and failed. And had I not failed, I would not have been given the opportunity to do something far more, far greater and more of a blessing upon myself and my family than had I not failed. But his words rang in my ears when I failed. In that failure, I was then looking, I was expecting, I was anticipating what God was going to bring next. Dwell on the person God wants us to become. If we think deeply on the person that we intend to become, we synthesize ourselves to the changes that we must bring about. We honor and acknowledge in others the qualities that we need, and we study those qualities. We contemplate the wonderful and exciting plans that God has stored in our future. One approach is to ask ourselves, how would the future me respond to this situation? That's dwelling on the person God wants us to become. How would the future person respond to this? What would the future me do differently in the morning or the evening? How would the future me take care of my brain and my body? Visualize what it might look like and live into it. Live into it. And then finally, act with joy and anticipation. You know, anyone can be happy when the circumstances are positive, when they're wonderful. But joy is not being happy. Joy is a choice that we make. Joy is a learned capacity to display faith ahead of time. Faith is believing God's promises and then to see how God will act. Joy is the response to that. Joy is the affirmation of that. Joy is the confidence of that. Joy is living within the wake of God's direction. To operate as if a prayer had been answered in advance. To walk the walk, to demonstrate faith, with expectation and anticipation. We might look silly at times, and we might even be silly. But who cares? Who cares when we are living with joy? I want that joy. I want that joy. Let us not be the person that reserves the right to say, "I told you so." You know those folks? You know, they're the ones who they're negative. You know, they're kind of, because they're reserving the right to say, "I told you so." Well, if you're never going to accomplish anything, what? Who cares if I told you so? I want to live beyond that. I want us as a church to live beyond that. And I invite you to live beyond that in your life. To live with joy, anticipation, confidence. To live for God in all things. So with that in mind, let us pray. And I offer this prayer for you and for myself. Put both feet on the ground. Open up your hands to receive what God has for you. And so now I pray over the future. I pray that God will pour out just a glimpse of what tomorrow might be. I pray, Lord, for forgiveness of others and ourselves without exception, that we could leave the past in the past and move forward to the future without the baggage that drags us down. I pray, O God, that we would be able to focus on our God-given strengths, for you have placed within us uniqueness, abilities that we have yet to even touch. I pray, Lord, that we would eliminate the negative talk and introduce joy talk into our lives. I pray, God, that we would dwell on the person that you want us to become, and that we would find that person, that we would live that person, that you would bless that person. And with all of that, oh God, may we act with joy. May we face the future with words of joy, with the laughter of joy. May we face the future, no matter how difficult or how positive it may be, knowing that you are in the business of answering prayers. You are in the business of lifting us up. You are in the business of being our wings. And so, oh God, now as we breathe in you. We breathe out ourselves, all selfishness, grief, harm, and we bring in your healing. We breathe it in, oh God. We breathe it deep, that we may feel it in our heart, in our soul, in our extremities, that we may know your presence. We breathe out disappointment. We breathe in joy. We breathe out doubt. And we breathe in confidence and love. Thank you, God, in advance for what you're doing and what you're going to do. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.